Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Plenty of fun stuff to talk about today on Inside the Huddle. We thank you for joining us, and we thank our sponsor, Winsky Brothers, for sponsoring Inside the Huddle. You can listen just like I hope you're doing right now at WILO 96.9, 1570 AM, or Boone 102.7 FM. You can watch on HoosierLandTV.com. We're streaming live on Hoosierland TV all year. And if you miss any part of today's show, you want to go back and watch. If we have somebody in studio, you just wanted to see them in studio, you can watch the archived versions on HoosierlandTV.com. You can also catch us if you miss the show or any part of the show, you just want to listen to it again. You can catch us on Spotify. Just search up Inside the Huddle. You'll see Inside the Huddle from Casper Media. And you can listen to us there. You can catch the Inside the Huddle replay tomorrow night, or you can listen to us on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the local sports or the sports tab and click on Inside the Huddle to find all of the recent Inside the Huddle episodes. So plenty of ways to hear Inside the Huddle, listen to Inside the Huddle, or watch it. And we want to thank again our sponsor, Winsky Brothers. Sam Wirt here, Kyle Etherington on the board in studio with us. And Kyle, we had a great night of football last night, but we'll get to football later on. Right now, I want to get to some volleyball, and we've got one of the top teams, not just in the area, but the top teams in Class 1A, and their head coach, it's Rossville, and their head coach, Lexi Ellenwood, on the line. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm great. We have our JV tournament here at Rossville today, so that's where I'm at, starting the morning off with a lot of volleyball.
The grind never stops.
True.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your team. For maybe fans that haven't followed volleyball as closely this year, you guys are on a roll. You just dropped just your second match of the season on Thursday against Tri-County. That broke a 16-match win streak that you guys were on. So just talk about what you've seen from your squad this season.
We've really emphasized this season being competitive, not just with the teams around us, but with ourselves. You know, we felt like last year when we got into that regional match that we definitely didn't compete the way that we wanted to. You know, we were a little bit disappointed. We were left feeling like we didn't leave it all out on the court. And so we've really emphasized that this year. And I feel like in most every time that we've faced adversity, the girls have responded. And that's exactly what we want to see. That's really what we've been trying to push, because we feel like if we are able to compete and challenge ourselves and want to be better every single point, then all of the, you know, accolades and wins and things like that, those will come. So we aren't necessarily focused on winning, but focusing on the competition has resulted in those wins, and we've been very grateful to see the progress that we've made.
Let's talk a little bit about the roster, because we know some of the names that are familiar, and Addie Gorbett and Ava Burkle, who were big pieces for you guys last year, but also a couple of new faces, a couple of new names to the roster that have really been contributing. So talk about the team. Talk about some people that have really stepped up for you guys this year.
Yeah, well, like you said, our seniors and the veteran leadership that we have has been incredible. They've all stepped in and done their jobs even better than they have in years past. And so, you know, that contribution has been fantastic. But on top of that, yes, we have added some crucial freshmen to our lineup. Blair Wellman is one of our outside hitters, and she, from day one, has never played necessarily like a freshman, right? She walks out onto the court. She's composed. She is intense. She is constantly, again, competing, right? She's the kind of competitor that you want to see. So she has been great to have on that pin, giving us some versatility as well as just some raw power. And then Cassie Schoon is our libero, and she is just a scrappy player. She constantly is covering, getting balls up that, you know, you wouldn't expect to see up maybe in a couple of 1A matches. She likes to position herself just perfectly around the block so that she is there to get, you know, those cross-court hits and things like that. Both of them continually add new energy, I feel like, to every game that we're playing. They also are very technically sound and constantly want to get better. And so we love that we have that veteran, you know, calm and consistency, but we now also have that fresh, new energy that we can get from our younger girls.
And one thing, Coach, with the libero, oftentimes that's kind of unsung leader of the entire group. How does having a freshman libero kind of compare with having a junior or even a senior libero as in years past, at least in your coaching days, as well as your playing days too?
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely always comes with some learning bumps and along the road. Cassie is a very sweet, kind, mild-mannered girl, and she is just, you know, she makes your heart so happy when you're talking with her. Sometimes we wish that she was just a little bit more aggressive, but I think that she is learning and stepping into that role so well. You know, we're constantly challenging her. We're saying, hey, we need you to talk more. We need you to take charge. We need you to, you know, go grab that second ball, even though you think Tori might be there. And she is welcoming that challenge every single day. Again, consistently trying to improve her game. And so I think watching her grow throughout the season has been so fun. And I think, you know, we have a lot to look forward to in the coming years. But even in this season alone, I think that she is going to just blossom at the right time. She's going to hit her stride at the end of the season. And we've loved everything that we've seen from her. And we hope that she continues to put in that consistent effort that we see.
And that's probably one of the bigger things that I definitely think is just as important as well, just that consistency, because you're dealing with kids who, you know, can't drive cars yet and, you know, are still having to deal with all the issues of being a kid. And speaking of having a kid, I believe that there is a new child in your life, and we're not just talking about a volleyball player, although they could be a possible volleyball player in the future.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to turn her into a left-handed setter. But yes, we have had a kiddo about 5 months ago. Her name's Raleigh. She's doing great. Her father and I argue back and forth, is she going to play soccer or volleyball, since he's a big soccer ref. So, but yes, she's been fantastic. The girls love her. She's an awesome addition to the volleyball atmosphere.
Now, I know that you've got a lot of babysitters on the team in this case, but how have the girls been helping you this year, because there's a lot less sleep that I'm sure you're getting as compared with last season, although last season pretty stressful as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, every season comes with its different stressors, absolutely. Again, I think having the veteran leadership has just been helpful in me not having to worry about so many of the little things, you know, whether it's like running one of our specific cancer nights or senior nights or something like that, you know, they already have the checklist of what needs to get done. I don't have to worry about that. You know, the girls have been helpful, but I also really want to shout out my coaching staff. They have been an absolute godsend. I've got, four assistant coaches that help out consistently, and they have just been an absolute rock for me. So anything that I miss, they pick up. Anything that I, you know, didn't even think to do, I mean, they've already got it covered. And they are just constantly asking, what more can we do to help? How can we support you? What do the girls need? What do you need? And they respond so well.
Well, Coach, let's talk about the upcoming schedule and talk a little bit about the conference play. You guys have been really good in conference play, 6-0 so far. Sheridan and Clinton Prairie, your last two conference matches, but you guys haven't dropped a set in conference play, and I know that coming into the season for a lot of teams, winning that conference championship is a good goal. You guys are on your way to accomplishing that goal, but you have to finish against two good teams in Sheridan and Clinton Prairie. So let's talk about the rest of the schedule, how that shapes up for you guys.
Yeah, conference is a big deal for us this year. We were looking back at our banners in the gym, and it appears, unless we've missed a year, that we haven't actually won the conference championship since 80-something, which to me seems absolutely wild. So conference was a big focus for us, regardless of all the other stuff that's going on in the season and other goals that we have. We really do want to take those conference games seriously and come home with those. You know, a couple of our conference games already have been tough matches, and we know that there is no doubt in our mind that these last two are going to be even tougher. We, you know, consistently have a rivalry with Clinton Prairie being just down the road. And then Sheridan has been a team that, since I've been here, we just haven't been able to eclipse, you know, or we've just only barely been able to eclipse them, I think, our first year. So we are really looking forward to the challenge. We want to, again, leave everything that we have out on the court. And we have to make sure that we are prepared for anything that they can send over to us. So we want to make sure that we're doing a lot of scouting as well. So we like to use our practices to prepare for those individual games the day or two before. hopefully we do the proper preparation and keep our eyes in the game.
And then the next week coming up, you've got a couple of matches, one away at Frontier, then home against Seeger. So how are you kind of getting prepared for these matches as school continues to pick up and you're kind of in the thick of that, but you're also trying to continue on and win some more matches?
Yeah, we get really frustrated when we get into the season and we only get, you know, one or two practices a week. So we do have to be very cautious and very deliberate about what we're doing in practice. We often take some time to look over film from previous matches for these teams, identify what are some of their strengths, and then what are some of our strengths, what are some of their weaknesses, what are some of our weaknesses, and how can we make sure that we're compensating for each of those to the point that we end up on top at the end. For Seeger in particular, I've been looking forward to that match a lot because, as we all know, they have Chase Fleming, great athlete, fantastic volleyball player. You know, so we have to really focus on how are we going to be able to shut her down, but also we can't forget that a volleyball game can't be played by one person, right? There's five other people. So just kind of balancing the, yes, we have people and players that we want to focus on, but also volleyball is a complete game, and so we can't get our tunnel vision going. So it is a delicate balance there for all teams in particular, or for all teams really, but speaking this week, this coming week, we do want to focus in, I think, a little bit more on Seeger, yes.
One thing, Coach, that a lot of people oftentimes will ask Sam and myself is how they can be more involved with a school's program in terms of donating funds or everything like that. Wondering if you had any upcoming fundraisers or anything of that nature just to give the folks an opportunity to possibly participate with the program or to become even more involved, even if it's just getting the little kids involved as well, too.
Yeah, fundraising-wise, we usually do most of that during the summer. However, our athletic boosters always accepting donations. Our athletic director, you can reach out directly to him if that is something that you're interested in. I know personally, my girls snack a lot, and so if anyone ever wants to donate food, I know that they wouldn't be opposed to that. But really, what means the most and helps the most to us is just participation at games or support before games and things like that. We've recently gotten our Facebook page up and running, so you guys are more than welcome and very much encouraged to follow along. We try to update in-game, we try to update day before, day after, things like that. That's been a huge point of, I think, fun for our team, just like seeing their faces out there before games, getting to post about matches and things like that. So Facebook support is great. We have senior night coming up on the 30th, and then one more special night, and I can't remember what it is. I'll have to think on that. Well, but senior night would be an awesome... Go ahead.
No, you're fine. But in the past, I know that Rossville Volleyball has done Powerpuff as well, too, as a big fundraiser. Is that on the horizon as well, along with senior night?
Yeah. Powerpuff is coming up. That will be after sectionals. Powerpuff, I don't believe the funds benefit like our team in particular, but it is such a fun event that... the volleyball team helps to run. And so I would love to see more people come out for that as well. I can't remember the exact dates. I do know it is the week following sectionals, though. Again, love to see the gym packed for that. It is just a fun community event. The boys have a great time. The girls have an awesome time coaching them. Volleyball team helps run all of the refereeing and things like that. So Powerpuff, fantastic event, yes.
And one thing with the Powerpuff event on the second night, the winning class usually ends up taking on the teacher team, which leads to a lot of jokes about Band-Aids and ice, Medicare, healthcare, and all things in between as well. Kind of talk about staff involvement, because as you said, it truly takes a community involvement, whether it's the kids in the stands or the parents, but also kind of talk about the staff involvement as well, too.
Yeah, the staff here is great. They are very supportive of our athletes. I worked here on staff the past couple of years. Since having Raleigh, I ended up stepping away, but I still feel such love and dedication from everyone that works here at Rossville. I am a very big proponent of you are student first, athlete second, and I feel like the teachers appreciate that, but also, again, really strive to support the athletes in that journey. You know, I've got a lot of girls who love to perform well both on and off the court, and sometimes they can get very overwhelmed, and these teachers have been so great at, you know, being behind them the entire time, helping them work through any of the adversity that they're seeing in the classroom, and then, of course, showing up to games and letting them know that they support them outside of the classroom, too.
And, Coach, you mentioned Facebook page, but if fans want to continue to kind of follow along on the rest of your season, what are some ways that they can do that? You mentioned a couple of more home matches, but where can fans follow along?
Well, we do the live in-game posting from Facebook. We are not streaming directly this year anymore. We're trying to figure out if there is a way that we're able to do that for a couple more games. I know that we will be on ISC, I believe, for our Clinton Prairie games. You can watch from ISC for that game. And then occasionally we're also on IHSAA TV. You can always go on to their app or online and just search our name and see what games are coming up. They have the games scheduled for those as well.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and good luck to your JV squad as they're in the tournament today. We appreciate you coming on and talking a little volleyball.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
That's Rossville volleyball coach Lexi Ellenwood, and their team is 16-2, undefeated in conference play. They've had a great start to this season, and they've got plenty of matches. If you want to go out and catch a great volleyball match and see a really talented squad, plenty of matches left, and we're hoping to get at least one match of theirs on our Hoosierland TV Game of the Week schedule, so stay tuned for that. We'll have more of that coming in the short future. That'll do it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back with quarter number two after this break.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, right after Party Line, WILO and Boone 102.7 bring you a moment of pure positivity. It's the pet of the day. In partnership with the Clinton County Humane Society, we shine the spotlight on adoptable dogs and cats just waiting to meet their new best friend. Maybe that's you. You'll hear their names, their stories, and what makes each one special. Whether they're playful pups, curious kittens, or wise old souls, these shelter residents are ready for a forever home. So tune in, fall in love, and help spread the word. Because sometimes, the right tail wag or gentle purr is just a broadcast away. That's Pet of the Day, every Tuesday and Thursday. Only on WILO and Boom 102.7, where every animal has their moment to shine. Brought to you by Wampler Services Incorporated, Encompass Credit Union, Travelers Point Distillery, Aaron's Flooring, and Blue Fox Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Proud supporter of Second Chances and Furry Friends.
It's time to saddle up and ride out to the 36th Annual WILO Senior Fair, the Senior Stampede. Head on down Wednesday, September 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Community Life Center in Frankfort. This free hoedown for folks 50 and up features a hearty breakfast and lunch, bingo showdowns, door prize jackpots, and toe-tapping live entertainment. Plus, you can mosey through more than 40 businesses and organizations, all ready to share goods and services for today's trailblazing seniors. Don't forget, you can wrangle up flu and pneumonia shots and get some straight-shooting help with insurance and Medicare filing. So hitch up your wagon and make tracks to the 36th Annual WILO Senior Fair, Senior Stampede. Brought to you in part by Encompass Credit Union and Center Township of Clinton County, with free shuttle service from the high school parking lot provided by BCS Landscape and Design. We'll be looking for you at the roundup, partner.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen. WILO.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number two. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington, talking local high school sports. We just caught up with Rossville head coach Lexi Ellenwood on their volleyball program. That's 16-2. They've had a really impressive start. Talking some more volleyball, some cross country, some soccer, some tennis, a little bit of everything, some girls' golf going on. Wanted to recap some local sports. Let's give you the high school football scores from last night. If you missed any of the scores from last night, here are the local teams that were in action and their scores. Sheridan defeated Clinton Prairie 40-6, and Clinton Prairie just coming off that bye week, it seemed like a slow start for them. We will catch up with head coach Kurt Slicker later on in the show. Taylor took down Clinton Central in our game of the week 47-8. A masterful performance from Javion Harris. 3 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, over 300 yards from scrimmage for the senior Titan quarterback. Cascade took down Frankfort. Cascade, one of the top teams in 2 or 3A, I believe. And it was a really good performance by Cascade. They're looking like they're on their way to winning the inaugural year of the Monon Athletic Conference. Eastern took down Carroll in a tough, close matchup, 28-27. Carroll scored the last touchdown of the game to make it 27-28. Went for 2 and the win with about 5 minutes left to go in the game. They did get another possession, just could not convert on a 4th and long. And Eastern comes away with a victory. That sets up, it's going to be a fun finish in the Hoosier Heartland. Sheridan, Eastern, Taylor, and Carroll are all going to be really, really close as we head down the stretch. So some of these games, some of these matchups are going to mean a lot. Western Boone defeated North Montgomery 42-14. Delphi took care of West Dell 32-14, and Lebanon beat McCutcheon 33-27. How about the Tigers of Lebanon, who lost their first match of the season, or first game of the season, and have won every single one since? They moved to 4-1, and under new head coach Josh Yoder, they look pretty good. Talk about a couple of other things going on in local high school sports over the last couple of years, or a couple of weeks, I should say, not years. Clinton Central, their girls' golf team, won the golf conference championship. We were hoping to catch up with head coach Sam Skaggs at some point this season, but this is the Hoosier Heartland Conference Tournament Championship in girls' golf. Clinton Central won with a score of 367. Eastern came in second, 377. Rossville in third at 437. And Carroll in fourth with 461. The top 10, Caitlin DeGraff of Eastern with a score of 84. Addie Dunn of Clinton Central with a score of 87. Allie Hankins of Clinton Central with a score of 92. Emily Kocher of Clinton Central with a score of 93. And Tegan Bedwell of Eastern with a score of 94. Just talking some girls' golf. Did you happen to catch any of that this week?
Caught a little bit of it from some of the kids. Definitely some excitement as far as Clinton Central is concerned, because for the last couple of years, Rossville has really kind of dominated the girls' golf scene in the Hoosier Heartland Conference. So hats off to the Bulldogs for getting their first conference championship. And I think in at least a little bit of a while, at least the last 5 years, I would say. And those girls are going to be very excited because sectional is coming up, and they're going to be missing some school at the same time. So it's a win-win either way for a lot of those girls golfers this coming week.
Is there anything better than missing school to play golf? Obviously, it's competition, and there's stress, and there's the mental side of it. But, I mean, if I could skip work and go play golf, I mean, I'll take it.
Well, I have never done anything of that nature in terms of missing work to go play golf or anything like that.
I don't believe that for one second.
I totally would not know what that is all about. I really wouldn't. You know, Final Four practices when I was a little kid, maybe once or seven, you know, but playing golf, absolutely not. I'm terrible. Now, if it's miniature golf, I'm there, man. I'm your guy on the windmill all the time.
There you go. Let's talk some cross country, and we will have trying to get a couple cross country coaches on to the show, but, and I mean, it's hard when they're racing every Saturday, so we will try our best to get a couple of cross country coaches on the show. But we had the Clinton County cross country meet happened last weekend, and taking a look at some results for them. In the boys section, Clinton Central came away with a win. Frankfort came in second, Rossville in third. Overall champion was Spencer Dunn of Clinton Central. Nicholas Angeles of Frankfort came in second, and Carter Klein of Clinton Central came in third. In the high school girls, Kimberly Moreno from Frankfort was your individual champion. Sadie Welliver of Clinton Prairie came in second, and Caldonia Kays of Frankfort came in third. Clinton Prairie able to escape with a victory in the girls' one of the Clinton County Cross Country Meet. Frankfort came in second, Clinton Central in third. We even have some junior high cross country results. Graham Wellman of Clinton Central came in first for junior high boys. Jude Gustin of Rossville and Cassius Brooks of Frankfort comes in third. That's junior high boys. Rossville junior high boys able to come out with the championship there. Frankfort came in second, Clinton Prairie in third. And then the junior high girls, Abigail Carter of Clinton Prairie, Jude Reinhardt of Clinton Prairie, and then Kennedy Rule of Clinton Central, 1-2-3. Clinton Prairie comes out with a victory there. Rossville in second, Frankfort comes in third. Did you see any cross country this week?
I tell you, just thinking about middle school cross country, that is a ball of energy and a half, and hearts out to any coach who is wanting to, you know, take on that opportunity, not a challenge, but an opportunity, especially with the middle school kids. I know that the Rossville runners got a little extra bit of practice, although they probably wouldn't admit to it. Orange Chicken was back in the lunchroom at Rossville for the first time in maybe a year or two, and that's always a big event. So hopefully they didn't get too much extra running in going to the lunchroom, but you never know. We got the cameras to prove it.
Well, while we have a little bit of time before we hit quarter number three, I figure it's time to do our college football picks. And I wasn't on last week's episode, so what game did you and Isaac pick from last week?
Isaac, myself, and Coach Kathy Martin, we picked the Tennessee versus Georgia matchup. I thought it was going to be Rocky Top Tennessee all the way, but it ended up being a really close game. But ultimately, I should have gone with Ernie Johnson's Georgia Bulldogs in that one. So Isaac picked Georgia. Kathy Martin picked Tennessee. I picked Tennessee. And I got a text message within 2 to 3 minutes of each other from both Isaac and Coach Kathy Martin celebrating and bemoaning the results of that game. It was a fun one.
Well, this one, we've got a fun matchup in the Big Ten to pick from. And it's your Hoosiers versus the Fighting Illini. And this one is going to be a good game. It is at Indiana. Indiana is favored by 6.5 points. I will let you take the first pick, and I assume you're going to give some speech like Pat McAfee before you end up getting your pick.
Google him. He wins Hoosiers by 7,
all at least.
That's all I got.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close game. Illinois comes in ranked number 9, Indiana number 19.
Yeah, Illinois is good this year. They're very good this year, though.
Illinois has a really, really good quarterback in Luke Altmyer. He's got 8 passing touchdowns this season. I'm going to this game. I'm rooting for the Hoosiers, even though I'm a Notre Dame fan. I am rooting for the Hoosiers, but just for fun's sake, I'm going to take the Illini.
Go for it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know that my Irish are
we got a big game up north too.
It seems today. Like every time we talk about the Irish, we need to play some sad music. Just like,
well, I think that's a perspective thing, really.
So they've got a big game against Purdue. I'm sure Jamie is going to be sitting back and enjoying this one. Well, Jamie, if you're listening, I'm going to take my Irish by 30. In this game against the Boilermakers. And if Purdue can cover that line, then I think Purdue has to feel pretty good about themselves.
Two games to pick from today. And I know there's a lot of tennis players up at Delphi for the Hoosier Heartland Conference individual championships going on. Eastern won the team championship pretty convincingly, but there's a couple of people that might make a little bit of a splash in the individual portion today. I have a wonderful mother-in-law that would not claim me. She barely claims me to begin with, but she would not claim me if I didn't at least say, boiler up. So I am going with the Boilermakers. Jamie, your tutelage has helped me quite well, even though you might not be happy with my pick. So put me on the side of the Boilermakers
now,
in today's matchup.
Are you saying to win outright, or are you saying to cover the spread?
Put me on the side of the Boilers, black and gold today.
Okay.
I will go with that.
Okay. Well, I hate to tell you, but I don't think you're going to come out with a victory on that one. We're going to take a break, head to quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. We'll have head coach Justin Kinsey of the Frankfort Hot Dogs coming up in just a minute. This is Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfort?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
Ag News, the Farmer Forum, the Free For All, and a lot more. Hi, everyone. I'm AgriTalk host Chip Flory. Join me each weekday morning at 11 right here on WILO for a conversation dedicated to rural America and agriculture. AgriTalk brings you the news, information, and perspectives you need to get to the meat of the issues that matter the most to your farm. Join me for AgriTalk weekdays at 11 on your Ag Leader in North Central Indiana, WILO.
We know to contact Indiana 811 at least 2 working days before every dig. But did you know spraying a white line around your digging area means utility flags will be placed only in that area? Fewer flags in the yard? Easier mowing? Everybody wins.
Except for my kid.
I don't want to mow the yard!
Contact Indiana 811 and white line before every project. It's the only way to dig. Learn more at 811.safedigindiana.com. Sponsored by the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission and aired by this station.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
The National Weather Service has issued an air quality alert and an elevated fire risk for the next few days. Your Saturday forecast, mostly sunny with a high of 87. Chance of scattered showers this evening and into the overnight with a low of 63. Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a high of 80. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Real-time weather radar 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County DailyNews.com.
Quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. Sam Work, Kyle Etherington. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers. We love Winsky Brothers. We thank them for their sponsorship of Inside the Huddle. Remember, you can watch Inside the Huddle on Hoosierland TV. Live or archived for your enjoyment later on. You can listen tomorrow on the Inside the Huddle replay, 7 o'clock right back here on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM. Or you can listen online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the Sports tab and you'll see the Inside the Huddle tab has all of our recent episodes. Or on Spotify, you can find us on Spotify at Inside the Huddle under Casper Media. And you can watch all of this season's episodes. We have a few summer specials on just on Spotify. And, of our course, our last episode from last season, counting down the top 10 moments in sports in the area from last year. Let's get to our next interview. And we have on the line head coach Justin Kinsey of the Frankfort Hot Dogs. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm better than I deserve. Thank you for having me.
Coach, you ran into one of the best teams in Class 3A yesterday in Cascade, and Cascade comes up with a victory 77-0. Talk about what you saw from your squad, and talk about what you saw from Cascade, because, man, they are a good football team.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, Coach Simmons and I, we've been, you know, I've got a pretty good Twitter presence, our ex-presence, whatever it's called now. So him and I are pretty close. We've got a good relationship. Really, I mean, a fantastic football program, just top to bottom. I don't know that there's a chink in their armor, so to speak. They kind of, you know, put a lot of their subs in early. I know that they had some injuries. They're just, wow, that was a good football program. Definitely kind of reminded me of being back up north sometimes. You know, we always had Penn was the big juggernaut up there, and it was one of those weeks where, you know, we're, you know, trying to save some of our bodies, you know, hey, listen, like, this is going to be a tough game. We've got 4 games after this. Like, let's be smart about how we're game planning for this thing here. But yeah, Cascade, fantastic program, really class organization too. Like I said, Coach Simmons was pretty quick to put some subs in, and yeah, just a really, really good football program. I am glad that we don't have to see them again this year.
You guys have already faced a couple of the top programs in the Monon Athletic Conference, Cascade and Southmont, and upcoming you got Western Boone. Those three are all still undefeated in conference play. And so let's talk about your team before we get to talking a little bit more about the conference and what we've seen from them. Let's talk about the team a little bit. And as you guys just continue to work towards getting better every week and continuing to challenge yourselves to continuous improvement, what have you seen from your guys over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just, again, you know, we have a large, I mean, we graduated so many seniors and so much production last year. You know, we have so many guys that are really playing their first quality varsity snaps, a lot of them in their career this year. And, you know, we're in a position where, you know, we've got a bunch of kids who are working real hard. You know, there's no quit in them. You know, we got guys like Darren and Dennis Barkley. You know, if those guys were 3 inches taller and 35 pounds heavier, you know, the phone would be ringing off the hook right now. They're small, scrappy guys that are just fighting tooth and nail. Offensive line, I know, you know, we went from a system where everything was basically, you know, shotgun snaps and pass setting, and now I'm asking them to down block, rear block. You know, they're picking it up and they're learning. I know, you know, offensive line, we've asked Trey Stewart, who hasn't played football in a couple of years, we asked him to step in and play center so we could move Dom Hoskins back to guard so we have the ability to pull a little bit. But, I mean, it really is the fact that the guys are still battling, and, you know, well, obviously, you know, we watch film, and, you know, it's hard to, you know, hard to put a bunch of icing on a 77-0 cake and make it taste very good, but you know, there's going to be some stuff we see on film and some guys, you know, even we talk about, there's going to be some things, you know, we have like our quarterback got sacked for an 8-yard loss, which is a negative play, but us coaches are looking and it's like, hey, like, you know, fullback, you know, you took the wrong step, you attacked with the wrong shoulder, like, we can fix those things, you know, and that has to be the mentality of, like, we look at the mistakes and we look at those things with some excitement because we know we can fix those things. We can drill those things. We can practice those things. And the guys have really embraced that mentality. And again, you know, we still haven't been ruled out for playoffs. So, you know, we're still playoff eligible. We still got five more games coming. So we just have to keep improving day in and day out. Just continue to have the mentality that it's us versus us. And, you know, we'll worry about Fridays when they get there.
And I think in a situation like this, when you're trying to learn new schemes and new offenses, and you're building for the future, and you want these young guys to continue to improve, but you also have a group of upperclassmen and a group of seniors that you're relying on to kind of teach a lot of this stuff to the younger guys because they've played a little bit more football, they've been around the game a little bit more, maybe their football IQ is a little bit higher, and so you're relying on these upperclassmen to teach these young guys how they're supposed to play the game. And so just talk about your senior class and what you've seen from them in terms of their leadership this year.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like you said, you know, we started, you know, from day one, you know, we had 8 seniors on our roster. And of those 8 seniors, you know, we told them very bluntly, like, you know, we're basically like, this isn't year one, this is year zero. Like, this is the foundation, this is the start of the build. And I'm going to ask you guys to help me plant trees that you guys will never sit under the shade of. You know, that was a big message we had all summer long. You know, it's kind of a running gag. You know, we have our quarterback, Keeper Dooley. I keep telling him that I owe him a coaching stipend because I'm basically using him as a quarterback and as a quarterback coach to coach up all of my younger quarterbacks. You know, same thing with, you know, guys like Dom Hoskins. You know, he's basically like, he's essentially a second O-line coach. When he's done with his reps, he immediately goes over and starts working with the freshman and sophomore offensive linemen. You know, again, can't say enough about Dennis Barkley and Darren Barkley. Those guys are just, I mean, just fighters. I love them to death. You know, Darren Barkley, we even put him out now. He's our punter just because he's such a shifty little guy that we're like, hey, we're going to rugby punt it. If you see a window, go and take it. I trust you, dude. You know, Jaden Boggs is another one that he's, you know, didn't play a lot. I don't know if he played at all last year. I think he started the season. But, you know, he's you know, missed the summer because of some health stuff. And, you know, he's coming up and he's now worked his way into the starting rotation as an offensive lineman. Blaine Barner is another one. He's a swimmer. The kid's going to end up going to college to swim and dive. And, you know, he loves football, man. He comes out, he's here for an hour before he has to go to swim practice. And, you know, he's brings a lot of athleticism and a lot of speed to the table. They're a great group of guys. And again, like, they understand that we're asking them, like, to be pretty selfless. And again, these are teenage boys. The single most selfish demographic that exists. And we're asking these guys, like, invest in something bigger than yourself, you know, and they've embraced it. And it's just so, it's awesome to see.
Coach, you seem to be describing myself and a couple of people I used to know growing up a little bit when it comes to teenage high school boys. When it comes to that selfishness and negativity, it seems like anymore it's easier just to kind of whip out the phone and then just go down the rabbit hole of negativity. Mm-hmm. How have you faced that negativity, not just with the guys, but also with yourself this season? As you said, it's difficult to put icing on a 77-0 cake and everything. So, you know, kind of how have you dealt with that, keeping the negativity out and keeping everybody from going down that rabbit hole of negativity?
Yes, you know, actually, that's a great question. And I know probably one of my favorite stories, and I told my coaches this story at the start of the season. So before I got my head coaching job up in Michigan, I was on Scott Shaw's staff at Niles. Scott Shaw was a coach. He coached in Fort Wayne. He coached at Elkhart Memorial. Scott Shaw is in the Michigan Hall of Fame, won a state championship at Three Rivers. Scott Shaw is one of the best coaches that I've been around in my career. So Scott Shaw took over. He's the current head coach at Niles, Michigan. They went to a state championship running the triple option, and they lost in the state championship. And the next morning on social media, people are, you know, well, you know, if only Coach Shaw threw the ball once or twice, probably win a state championship. But guys, you can go to the state championship and lose, and then the next morning, you're the worst coach in America. Like, the negativity is going to be there. If you go undefeated, there's going to be negativity. If you win every game by 30, there's going to be negativity. Like, you have to just understand that's the society we live in. And I think that social media has really given a voice to people who, you know, I mean, there's people on social media ripped in Frankfurt that don't have kids at Frankfurt, that don't live in Frankfurt. It's like they don't see the stuff that's happening every day. They don't understand the hole that we're digging out of. They don't understand, you know, what it's like to basically start over with no youth tackle football program. You know, it is hard to get those guys to tune that out. But I think if you just focus on the 6 inches in front of your face and you focus on the guys in the locker room, and that was even the message I said on the field last night after the game, is I was like, there's going to be a lot of people that have a lot of things to say about this game. But, like, look around. The only opinions that matter are the ones right here on the field, the guys who have bled with you, the guys who have sweat with you. You know, you have to focus on the things that matter. And, you know, there's the negativity is going to be there no matter what the result is. It really is. And just have to accept that. It's part of the business. As long as the bullseye is on my back, that's okay. That's my Mike Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40. You know, you can chirp about me. I'll take all this. I got my broad shoulders. You know, these kids are doing all the right things. These kids are battling. You know, by all means, continue to chirp at me. I will take that gladly.
One of my all-time favorite coaching speeches of all time, and if you haven't seen that, definitely check that out on YouTube for anybody that's near a computer or a phone. But one thing we've been asking, we asked Coach Ellenwood this, how can people get involved? Because if there's something that you don't like, you know, instead of just sitting back and criticizing it, roll up your sleeves and join in. How can people help the Frankfurt football program? And this doesn't even have to be need for coaches. Coach Ellenwood made a wonderful plea for snacks for away games and everything like that. So how can people help the Frankfurt football program to roll up their sleeves and get involved?
Yeah, and again, I'll echo the exact same thing. You know, these are young men that a lot of times, you know, and this isn't just a Frankfurt thing. This is every school in America. I think that when community members step up and do simple things, anything as simple as, you know, hey, you have a Saturday recovery lift. Hey, somebody dropped off three dozen donuts for everybody, or, you know, somebody, you know, brought two boxes of Uncrustables or whatever. Like, when somebody in the community donates something like that, like, it is really cool, because these kids, again, they're we kind of keep them isolated in their little bubble and tell them to, like, don't pay attention to social media. Then, like, when they see, like, oh, wow, like, there's actually people in the community that are just, like, donating Uncrustables. There's somebody that dropped off a couple of boxes of, you know, peanut butter crackers. Like, it really does. It makes a huge impact for those kids to see, like, you know, the community is supporting us, that people support us. And so, obviously, that's a big help. But I think, too, just from an emotional standpoint, I think that that means a lot to any young man and anybody listening to this program. You know, by all means, you know, feel free to donate to Frankfurt. We'll, by all means, take it. But, you know, just doing something like that for your local school, reach out to the athletic director, reach out to the athletic secretary, and just ask, like, hey, you know, I got a, you know, I went to Costco and bought a couple of boxes of Uncrustables. Can I drop them off for the football program? I think that things like that really mean a lot to the kids, because it shows that they really are playing for the name on their chest, you know, and that's a really cool thing. So I would definitely echo that. And then beyond that, man, you know, if you don't have anything else going on Friday night, like, come out to a game, you know, buy yourself a hot dog and popcorn. I promise you, we can feed you for a lot cheaper than your local, you know, local chain restaurants can. And come out and just, like, support the guys. You know, that money goes directly back into the program, and it means a lot for our guys to play in front of full crowds. And, you know, we have our volleyball team's doing really well. Come pack Case Arena, you know, and put a little bit more money into our athletic department. Things like that even make a huge difference.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on and talking some high school football, and we look forward to continuing to cover your guys, and good luck next week against Western Boone, and good luck in the rest of the season.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Go Hot Dogs.
That's head coach Justin Kinsey of the Frankfurt Hot Dogs. We'll be right back with quarter number four of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfurt, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Folks ask, Salty Pete, what's the best part of being a pirate? Hello? It's all the buried treasure. I've been following this here treasure map all day. Time to dig. Oh, I once knew a lesson, old Charlie was... Arr!
You just hit a power line.
Contact Indiana 811 at least 2 working days before picking up a shovel. It's the only way to dig. Learn more at 811.safedigindiana.com. Sponsored by the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission and aired by this station.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierlandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
It's the weekly roundup of the news that matters most to Indiana producers and agribusinesses. Hoosier Ag this week. From market trends and top headlines to weather and expert analysis, Hoosier Ag covers the stories shaping your week in agriculture. Tune in every Saturday at 7 a.m. for a full half hour of insights and updates exclusively on AM 1570, 96.9 WILO, and Boone 102.7. That's Hoosier Ag this week, where Indiana agriculture comes first.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, our final quarter of Inside the Huddle. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen tomorrow on the Inside the Huddle replay. That comes at 7 o'clock right back here on WILO. You can listen on Spotify at Inside the Huddle. You can watch on HoosierlandTV.com, or you can listen to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com by clicking on the Sports tab, then finding the Inside the Huddle tab to find all of our recent episodes. Here at quarter number four, we're going to catch up with Clint Puri, football coach Kurt Schlicker. Coach, your team just struggled to get things going last night. What did you see from your squad?
Yeah. I got to give Sheridan credit. They did a good job of, you know, kind of putting us in a hole early. We weren't able to move the ball. And really, we struggled to move the ball all night. Their the speed of their defense caused us some issues. We had a couple of things. We just couldn't quite execute them. So anytime you're not moving the ball, right, you put a lot of pressure on your defense. And I think that's, you know, it's difficult to win. You know, a winning formula, right, is you want to move the ball on offense to make them have to work, right, and play defense. And we weren't able to do that last night. And therefore, we put our defense in a couple of tough situations. And, you know, I think that Sheridan has improved from, and I think talking with their coach last night, they definitely have improved since week one and week two. And that's a credit for them. And, you know, I think last night for us, you know, I think it was a different type of team than what we have been playing. And, you know, I think we were on our heels a little bit. And it's hard to win when you're on your heels. So that's just something we've got to learn from it. And, you know, we had a lot of boys in here, you know, watching the film this morning. And, you know, that's kind of the goal. You either win or you learn. And, you know, if you got the right attitude, and I think our boys have that.
You guys got wins against Frankfort and Clinton Central. Then you have the bye week because of Tri-Central having to drop down to a JV-only schedule. And you're not used to having a bye week in the middle of the season. You usually just play on through, and you got a game every week. And so what did that do to kind of the mindset? Did that make you guys come out a little rusty, or talk about that a little bit?
You know, that's one of those things where I've never experienced something like that in the middle of a season. So certainly you're – as a coach, you're questioning what we did because it didn't seem to carry over very well. There's a little human nature involved in what happened too, right? We won a couple games, and if you combine the scores by quite a bit, so I think everybody thinks you're pretty good. The reality was, we had a lot of areas that we knew that needed to be better, and I'm not sure we got better in those two areas, even though, you know, we tried to work on them. I'm not sure we did, so... you know, that's probably on me, number one. You know, were we a little rusty? Maybe. I was concerned about conditioning because it's just really hard to simulate a game in practice because, you know, you don't want to go full on all the time in practice. That's any coach, right? You don't want to risk injury. So, you know, we ran them hard, but still not quite the same. That physical contact that you get from a ball game, you know, helps stay in shape. So, you know, that definitely probably played a part into it. I think there was the mental aspect that played a part, but reality was that you know, Sheridan came out and they played well last night, right? We turned the ball over, right? It's hard to win when you turn it over, right? With the games that we've won, right, we've been able to force turnovers, and last night, you know, our touchdown, right, was a forced turnover, so it was actually an incredibly good play by Hunter Cooper and then Kyson Abinga stripping the ball, you know, to allow us to even get on the board last night. So we had some really good individual plays last night. We really did. And in some of our boys, we're seeing some improvement for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, talking about the turnovers, that kind of just puts you behind the sticks, and you talked about your defense needing some time to just catch their breath and rest a little bit, and the offense needed to move the ball. And when you have turnovers, that kind of just forces your defense to play a lot of time on the field and gives them more opportunities to get on the board with great field position.
Well, you know, Sheridan, if you watch the early games, you know, threw the ball a little bit more than they're throwing it now. I think they found that, you know, they're not saying they can't throw it, but the running game has been pretty successful here of late. And last night they were able to run the ball, you know, pretty successfully. They're pretty physical up front, and they've got some good running backs there, and they've got some experience there. You know, as far as, you know, for us, you know, I think that Gage Kuzmic's punting last night was really, really impressive. He's an excellent kicker. So, you know, sometimes just if you don't turn it over and you punt the ball, right, we flipped the field quite a bit last night. So, you know, sometimes a good football play is a punt. If you don't have anything, right, if you can flip the field over, certainly no one's trying to turn the ball over, right? Those turnovers last night, it's not one person's fault. It's not, and there's multiple reasons for the turnover. And give their kids credit for making some good plays on those. But those turnovers definitely hurt us last night a little bit, and as they did in week one when we didn't win. So that's just something that we're cognizant of. And you know, we talked, I think, a couple of weeks ago about how important they are, and we lost that turnover battle last night, which put us behind, especially on the road, right?
And, Coach, that's one of the tougher interviews to do because you always want all the local teams to do as well as they can and to win and everything like that. And when you walked in, I just reverted back to my old ways with my dad. Like, if he came home you could tell just by walking in whether he won or he lost. And, you know, we were hiding under the bed some nights, especially after some difficult losses and everything like that. How do you kind of keep yourself grounded a little bit, not getting too high, not getting too low? Because you want to win everything, and sometimes there are just things just outside of your control, whether it's a bye week or anything like that. So how do you kind of keep yourself from getting too high, too low with this?
Well, you know, I think sometimes we, you know, as coaches, really are obviously we need to win, you know, like, and that's, and trying to win and everything is about winning, but really it's not completely about that, right? You're trying to develop and help these young men grow and become better people. And, you know, you're going to face adversity in life, right? So, you know, we believe in the boys. You know, we there's a few things last night that are a little concerning, and, you know, we addressed those. But, you know, I think overall, right, you can ask the boys. They didn't get their rear end chewed last night. They really didn't, at least not by me. And, you know, they're there this morning. We just need to be better, you know, and I think that's in life right now, in anything you do in life, right, sometimes you got to reevaluate and you got to ask yourself, you know, what are the things I can do to help not only me be more successful, but the team be more successful. So, you know, rant and raving isn't necessarily going to help that. You know, I'm not saying there's not a time when, right, you need to maybe push here and push there, but because it's not always okay. You know, you can go with the attitude, hey, it's okay. So, you know, hey, shake it off. Well, it's not always okay, right? Or you know, hey, it's my bad, coach. Well, you know, if I just say that's okay, well, then that's just like I'm excusing it to be your bad, right? We need you to be better. And I think the boys know that. So, you know, really, I told them before the game, no matter what happens tonight, right, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, right? And we're going to know a little bit more about our team. And I think that's what we found out, right? We know a little bit more about our team right now. We understand what's in front of us right here, 1 week at a time, right? You really can't look too far ahead. We know that Delphi is a good team. I don't care what their record is. They've shown that certainly at times. They have a lot of talent. So, you know, we got a tough ball game coming up next week. We do finally get to play at home, right? We haven't played a home game since week one. That's hard to imagine, but we have not played a home game since week one. So I know our boys are excited to play at home. And, you know, right now we are going to have to, you know, I told everybody last night, you know, our theme for the year is everything is earned. So, you know, you've got to earn your spots. You got to prove that you're dedicated and that you're a team first guy. And if you are that, then, you know, we can make improvements based on what we saw on the film last night.
And one thing that is always difficult for us up in the booth, we see kids get injured on the field, play is stopped, and, you know, it's kind of like when you walked into the studio today, you know, we're kind of hiding a little bit, we're not wanting to say too much, we're not wanting to speculate. How is everybody doing with the injury bug? Because watching the game film last night, there were a couple people that if play wasn't stopped, it looked like they were, you know, having a little struggle to get off the field at times. And everything like that. And how do you go about evaluating the health of a player both during the game and, of course, today on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, football is a hard-hitting game, right? So there's going to be bumps and bruises right there. So there's, you know, something hurt or really being injured, you know, there is a difference there. And so, yeah, we had a couple last night that, you know, little things here and there. And, you know, we held the boy out in the second half last night for precaution, which is obviously what you're going to do, right? You want the health and safety of the kid first, right? We always put that first, and every coach should. And if they don't, they're a fool, right? I mean, that's really the most important thing here, right, is we want the kids to be healthy. We want them to be safe. We don't want to put them in a bad spot. You know, I think last night's game, like I said, it was a different game for us. It was a lot more physical than what we faced in a couple other games, and you know that takes some getting used to. I really do believe that. Like there is something about playing that kind of style, and once you kind of embrace it and start playing it, then it's fun because that's the way really football is supposed to be played. Right, it's supposed to be played fast and physical and relentless and all those things. And you know, so hopefully we'd learn from that. I think we're pretty healthy this morning. I don't think we have anything majors, and that's a blessing, right? A lot of teams have, you know, we've had major injuries in the past, and, you know, I think this morning, looking at the boys, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape heading into next week.
Let's talk about next week a little bit, because you come into this game against Delphi. It's just your second home game of the year here in week five, or week six with the bye week, three road games in a row, coming to your Second home game. You're sitting at 2-2. Feels like a really big spot for you guys against Delphi.
Well, it's always a rivalry game, right? You go to any sporting event when Clinton Prairie plays Delphi. I don't care if it's girls softball or boys baseball, you name it. Right, it's a rivalry.
And out for blood sometimes. Yeah, it's crazy. It's fun, too.
It's fun.
I'm glad I'm not playing.
You know, we have a lot of respect for their coaching staff and their players. And we know what next Friday night's going to be, right? It's going to be a great one. You know, our boys are ready to bounce back. But, you know, they're certainly improving. They definitely have some nice players. They have some good skill. And, you know, they're gaining confidence. You know, you get a win, you gain a little confidence. And so I'm sure they'll be fired up and ready to go. And, you know, for us, you know, we'll see how we bounce back, right? Most people in life are going to have setbacks here and there, right? And it's how you respond to the setback. Like, so I walked in this morning, you guys were being quiet. I was like, you know, hey, the sun came up, right? I'm trying not to, right? I did go to sleep last night. I really did. I fell asleep. And I didn't sleep great. You know, I woke up once. And you kind of toss and turn it because your mind's always at work. And, you know, I think as a coach, you know, your goal is always you're trying to get the most out of your team. And so you're obviously asking yourself, am I doing, you know, are we, or, you know, as coaches, doing the right things? You know, do we have maybe just the right strategy? Are we practicing properly? And we try to be consistent with that. And, you know, I think anytime you lose, you're going to reevaluate. You should, right? That's what we mean by learning, right? You should evaluate what you've been doing and seeing, like, where are some areas that we can improve. And I think as players, you know, I had a guy tell me a long time ago, I'm not going to name him as a head coach, but, you know, he always said, you know, be careful to fall in love with your players. He said, you're going to like them all, right? If you don't like them all, then you shouldn't be in this business, right? If you don't like them, if you don't like kids, you can't teach, can't do that, because you got to love the kids, right? So we love them all. But, you know, you might have a kid that could be better in a certain spot than maybe someone else is doing. So, you know, you're always looking for ways to see if you can improve your team. That doesn't mean drastic. It may not be any changes. There may not be any. But yeah, I think you're looking. And kids, you know, you want them to be comfortable. You want them to be confident. But, you know, in some ways, right, you got to earn your spot, right? You know that from if you play at a big school, right, there's always somebody waiting in the wings. So, you know, you talked about injuries. Next man up, see who can prove themselves. And that's kind of what we're looking for. You know, as the season goes along, some kids are going to keep improving week to week. I think that really the number one thing, you know, last week is the first time really all year we could sit here and say we probably didn't improve. I really don't think we improved. Like, we have been improving. We improved from Southmont scrimmage to the Frontier to Frankfurt. You know, I thought we were taking steps. I think last night, I'm not saying we took a step back. I just don't think we took a step forward. So, you know, and sometimes that happens, right? So that's what we're trying to do for next week. We just need to be better. And where do we need to be better at? Really, we need to be better at everything, right? We got to block a little better. We got to tackle a little better, right? We got to execute a little better. We got to hang on to the ball a little bit better. We got to cover the kicks, and so to speak, a little bit better. And if we can do those things, and you know, we still really like this team, love our kids, and we think we got a chance to be very competitive moving forward.
And we will have the next week's game, Delphi versus Clinton Prairie, as our Hoosierland TV game of the week. And we haven't been out to Clinton Prairie. We, of course, had your game against Clinton Central, but we're looking forward to being out at Clinton Prairie for the first time this season. And it should be a really good matchup, and it's going to be kind of a telltale game for both Scott. Both squads here in the Hoosier Heartland, man, it's a tough conference. And we say that a lot, but I truly do believe that this is one of the best conferences at this 1A with a couple of 2A teams in there too. But at this level, one of the best conferences in Indiana high school football, because you got three or four schools that can really compete. We had three schools that win a sectional championship last year, and you got a couple other schools that are right there at the precipice to get to the next level. So we really appreciate you coming on and talking some high school football with us, and we are looking forward to next week's game against Delphi.
Well, I definitely agree with you. You know, as a football conference goes, for a 1A, 2A, I would you'd be hard-pressed to find a better one in the state of Indiana. And you can just see that by the scores. From week to week, and how close some of these games are, and how, you know, just how competitive these teams are. So, again, thanks, fellas. We look forward to seeing you next Friday night.
Hey, thank you.
Head coach Kurt Schlicker of the Clinton Prairie Gophers. That'll do it for this episode of Inside the Huddle. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt. Saying so long, everybody.